Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians' Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
What's up, folks? This is your man, Nathaniel Noble Jr. for the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. On this next episode, it's real explicit. It's real life. I didn't cut anything out because I wanted you to get the raw material from the guy himself, my cousin B. Noble, Bernard Noble, a.k.a. Peanut. And I just want y'all to hear this raw story because this is real life. This has really happened. And brace yourself. If you got virgin ears, I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry because I just wanted the raw story to get out. So it's explicit for adults only. I didn't want to filter this one, censor this one, because you got to get the gist of the hell he went through, you know, to understand the story better with no filter. So it's not politically correct. Some words here might offend, but hey, pray, because I just wanted the story to be real. So here we go. Tune in.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
Welcome this week on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. I want to introduce you guys to my cousin. This guy's got a story that's going to knock your socks off. So put your seatbelt on and let's tune in. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bernard Noble Jr., a.k.a. Peanut, my first cousin. What's up, cuz?
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. What's up, cuz? Thanks for the invite, man. I'm glad to be a part of this show. Who would ever thought you'd be interviewing kinfolks?
I don't know, but I just got to interview you because this is a story that needs to be told from all angles and, you know, all over the earth, from all platforms. Yeah,
this is a testimony, man, of the struggle in life, you know, the real side.
Yeah, man, this story here, it's like we started out in high school, you know, being just regular high school kids, and then we went our separate ways. I think I went to straight and narrow because, you know, I didn't like trouble and getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And then you went your way, the wild side, the jungle version, and now we're meeting again, what, 40 years later?
Yeah, and the jungle is definitely what I picked, you know, and I guess it came from my upcoming, bro. You know, I come from an area in New Orleans called Girktown. Mm-hmm. And I'm the oldest of six. You know, mama didn't have a lot of education. I didn't understand what bullying was. That shit mean hit back, boy, if you do anything. And all I knew is rough. I got my ass whooped a lot by, you know, not my daddy. And as I grew up, I was rebellious, you know. And I never knew what it was to I guess you call it civilized or living civilized. You know, all I knew is streets. And that's the path that I took, bro. And it was a roller coaster, believe that, bro. It was scary. Sometimes I wish I would have stayed in Sunday school. But I wouldn't be B. Noble if I would have.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I say, I took the straight and narrow because I just didn't like getting in trouble and I didn't want to be the guy that had my parents disappointed. So I just kind of kept to myself and just kind of stayed chimed in to just go to work and do what's right. But
that was a good look. I took that DMX route. Yeah. I went in the streets.
Like what?
You know, I made some of the moves, and it was hard to be that. And the position I'm in life now, bro, I waited. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but I was optimistic. I always wished for this chair I'm in right now at 18. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't easy, and it all started. My success, my name went up in life as the ambassador and the poster child and the spokesman of these nonviolent things, it all come from a $5 bag of weed, bro, in the story. You know, this is how it all happened. Coming from Louisiana, being charged with 2.8 grams. That's how they put it in the stories to make it like I was the $5 kingpin. Yeah,
like you was moving weight, huh?
I was the $5 nigga. It was, you know, on God, it was a 1 gram bag of weed. And bro, I wouldn't have tried to do nothing with this. I'm a smoker, and right. I wouldn't have used that. But I was put in a trick bag because I was a street cat. I had they put a technicality on me. I had 9 years and 6 months clean, and I was forced into 5 years. On this charge before everything went national. A lot of people don't know that I did 3 years almost on five. And when I got ready to come home, I served my peace. I did my time. They were supposed to let me go. But my oppressor, the slave master, decided, I guess this nigga had a clock on his bed or something. And when the alarm clock went off after 3 years, he came to the jail, told him, hold that nigga in there. Don't let him go. And that's when this shit blew up like wildflower.
Yeah. How did your story get out, though?
Because of when I got resentenced, like I say, I did the 2.5 on 5. Mm-hmm. And when it was time to be released, he stopped me from being released. I started calling home and telling my mama, and they got the news out that this man kept me in jail, and it got to a program called Weedikit, and they were some of the first people that interviewed me and got my story to blow up.
So from there, once the story got out, then, you know, what kind of help you started getting, like, for us?
Yeah, Weedikit came along, and there was a program that went to state talking about how messed up states are with on drug laws. Weedikit put it out there. That's how Fab Five Freddy got a whiff of it. And when Fab came in my life, things started changing. You know, I kind of saw a glimpse of hope, because before Fab came into my life, I hadn't been in jail about 4 or 5 years, bro, and Weedikit just made a platform for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when I did meet Fab, he told me that he saw the story, and he just wanted to know, was I a real person? And then when I met him, and that's when it all changed, bro. I had some hope. And it went on from there to getting my release. It took, after Fab, it come in my life. It took about 3.5 years later, with all the money and power they had, the slave master wouldn't let me go. And when he finally let me up out of that place, we talked about a documentary, you know. And I was just living normal life, bro. We made the documentary, and the documentary took off, and then we was talking about the weed thing. And he came up with ideas and asking me questions about what I think I would like it to look like if and when it happens. And I came up with the Be Noble logo, and we got a deal one day on the month of 420 on the smoke year in 2018, bro. And it was up from there after doing 10 years in prison. And now I have my own brand. It's called Be Noble. I'm GQ Magazine and, you know, High Times. And, you know, things are going good for me right now because of the struggle that I've been through for $5 of marijuana.
But look, B, let's go back. For those who don't know who Fab Five Freddy is, Fab Five Freddy used to be the host of Yo MTV Raps back in the 90s. And we used to watch him, and, you know, be looking at him. He DJ the shows and talk about all the rappers and the songs and play the videos.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Fab Five Freddy is a 90s cat that 80s and 90s, you know. I used to watch this man on TV. He always been a rap mogul. He an artist by trade, you know, and he just a hell of a businessman. Like things I never knew. And that's what's funny about this. I used to watch this cat on TV, and now he's managing in my life now, you know. So I went from watching a guy on TV that I practically idolized, and I never had no ideas about meeting him or nothing in my life. So now I could get on the phone and call Fab, and that's how much life has took a swing for me with what I've been through for $5. I have a real good team, and I'd have met some interesting people in my life where, you know, that doors was closed to me. I don't think this normally would have happened, but this is my testimony. So and now we have your B Noble brand.
B Noble. You know,
yes, sir. I'm with an amazing company, bro, called Curaleaf. And Curaleaf took me in and made me next to partner with the business, and it's been great, bro. This a company that's showing diversity. You know what I'm saying? They never had a man like me, a color, first of all, you know, on their team. So I got a real good sponsor, and it's everything great, man.
Did you know that over 92% of people in the United States are deficient in one or more vitamins or minerals? Unfortunately, the foods we eat just don't have enough of the vitamins and minerals our bodies need to maximize our immune systems, strengthen our organs, and help our bodies perform at their best. It's also the reason why so many people get sick. In fact, over 80% of patients who got COVID-19 were deficient in vitamin D, and up to 82% critically ill patients are deficient in vitamin C. The fact is, we need supplements. And now, for the first time ever, you can get the highest quality, most complete supplements on the market for prices that anyone can afford. With Live Good, you can afford to be healthy. Check out joinnatenow.com. Check out the 6-minute video. Leave a good name and email, and we'll get with you with more information. Have a great day. All right. So, look, let's go back and behind them walls, man. What was it like back there? What kind of torture they gave you on $5 worth of weed?
What was that like? $5. Yeah, that, like before I said, prison is way, way different from what people think. You know, I'm not new to going to jail, but I never been put behind a wall before. And that's worse than Vietnam. And the process in there, bro, they try to mentally destroy you. That's the whole setup. That's the point to going to prison. Prison is not for education. It's a manipulation with the clans that put that system together to have you come back to make them stronger. And I had to find that shit out the hard way because I was tortured. I had a bad stomach illness from not eating proper, eating jail slop. I was in a disease-infested environment where niggas was having wicked sex with each other, and both of them built the same way in physical. I was in an area where I had to learn myself sanity. I was in a place where I had to fight or die. You have to be somebody else. And doing all that, I was trying to pray because I come from a God-fearing family. When I'm by myself, because the environment that I was in, you can't let the demons see that shit. So I silently, you know, pray for strength and guidance and sanity. As soon as I come up by my prayer room, I got to put the Freddy Krueger face on. So it was rough. I went outside out of a 12-month period that a year carried. They want to open the door for 35 minutes in the 6-month, 7-month of a 12-month year period. I told them, you niggas crazy. I had experience of being told to pick cotton. I told the boss, I say, boss, I ain't a picker. I was talking like a slave. And he say, boy, don't you know you go to the dungeon? I say, well, boss, why is we still talking, son? So they hog-tied my ass. I had got so used to being hog-tied, I did it like the dance. They got to call a U, and the stupid nigga put the arms and the leg back. That's a dance, and nigga, I jump in the U position. And they didn't mind hogging me. I didn't mind U-ling, but I wasn't going to pick no fucking cotton.
Say, man, they still, you know, you real picking real cotton? They still doing that?
Because in Faraday, Louisiana, Jonesboro, Louisiana, I never fucking heard of them parts of Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana. These rednecks, these parts of Louisiana is so slavery. They got their nephews and their nieces as jailers. They ride with shotguns in Toyota cars, little bitty matchbox cars. The motherfuckers out there got a bean field and a cotton field in Bossier, Louisiana, bruh. And they took me out to a goddamn field one evening in the Raper Man van. I didn't know where I was going. When they opened this stupid ass Mr. T van up, all them black ass windows and cages, they don't want to see where you're going. And when they open it up, I done seen this scene on TV before with Kunta Kinte, but I ain't never seen this shit in real life. When they open the door of the Raper Man van, and Raper Man. I wave my eyes and I cleared my pupils up, I saw with my own eye a whole field, my people that look like me with t-shirts, sitting on buckets, singing hymn. And it scared me so bad. I got so nervous, I lost my feet, and I run to the slave master, and the nigga about 8 foot tall. I say, boss, what is I gonna do out here? He say, boy, don't you know you gonna pick cotton? I say, shit, boss, man, I've got 13 and a half years. I ain't picking. He said, don't you know you go to the hole? I said, well, why are we still standing here talking, boss? That nigga put them chains and whips on my motherfucking ass and threw me back in the Raper Man van and left me there for about an hour. Then took me to that nigga. I was sweating. I was cramped up. My ankles and my fingernails was hurting. My toes was all tied up in chains and shit. But I didn't pick no cotton, cousin.
Hey, man. I didn't. I'm trying not to laugh. But
yeah.
You're exaggerating, cuz.
I wouldn't exaggerate. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing to play with. When I saw them black men that looked like me singing hymns, I told them, I say, boss, what is I going to do out here? The white man say, boy, you's going to pick. I say, I'm not picking. I got 13 and a half years. That's all I tell them.
Oh, man.
And I got used to being tied up, drugging that motherfucker, put in that closet, and they locked that big steel door. And that was my penthouse. I learned to manipulate not being a slave, but just being in that situation. I tell them what I ain't going to do. They hog me. I get in my U position, and they drag my motherfucking ass in the back. And then they try to kill me in so many other different ways. I got real sick. You know, I ain't never wore no 298 fucking pounds in my life.
You got that heavy?
Yeah, I had. Nigga, I was wearing a 46 in the waist.
Off of prison food?
Yeah, huh?
Off of prison food?
Off of that $2 shit? But I didn't get no exercise. So it's just like I taught it, bro. When I got the doctor and he talked to me the proper way and explained to me, all of my fucking arteries was all clogged up like old Chevy. And I had kidney stones, you know, and my liver and my kidneys wasn't functioning right. My shit wasn't, it wasn't processing much your food in your body like your body's supposed to. So my shit got clogged up, and it got clogged up, and it blew me up. And when I get sick in a prison, nigga, it's a pain that's undescribable. Shit, I'd rather have 5 toothaches in my mouth because this stomach sickness that I had, gallstone, kidney stone, whatever they call that shit, it hurt for 8 hours. So when it do come on, I was in prison, bro. And my stomach will hurt. I knew what it will hurt for 8 hour period. I would be in the fetal position. The white folks get tired of me screaming and hollering and chain me up in a fucking wheelchair. They'll put me in a cell, you know, and wouldn't give me no medical attention. My homeboy died on side of me with the same illness. You know, and I used to pray, I say, Lord, you know, my family, I never know what happened to me because my boy died the same way. His family still don't know how he died. But I had to have a lot of faith, bro. That's why I say I went through pain, physical pain, that it's supposed to kill you. But they didn't kill me, bro. You know, I saw 2 or 3 niggas die in jail next to me. It didn't kill me. I was able to come home and get a surgery that they wouldn't do to be in prison. They tried to kill me. So when I did make it home and get to the doctor, they stuck that hose pipe in my stomach, and I got 5 holes in my body, because when I woke up, I asked them, why is all these holes in my ass like this? They say we was chasing it. It was the demon was running in my fucking body. And the last place they caught him trying to hide in my navel and stuck up the hose pipe in there and sucked his ass out of me. And that got where I'll never be able to get fat again. I think they took something out of me. It make me stop being greedy, and I'm mad about that. But my health is better. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, so that's what, the shit.
So you can only eat so much until you get full or something?
Yeah, I can only eat so much, nigga. That old new stomach will say shit. Partner, let's go. Nigga, straight to the bathroom. You know, let's go. I don't like it. And they say, let's go. And nigga, I can't hold water when they don't want to be on my new stomach now. But that's the shit I went through. I made it. You know, the oppressor didn't win, bro. So the plans he had for me to pull me down, he hate. For it to be up like this, but it's all the way up. I'm be noble. I'm married. You know, I got a successful thing going on. I understand what it is when a football player, anybody else, say, man, I like doing this, but I get paid for it. So that's what's happening with me. I like this shit. I like smoking. It helped my thinking pattern. You know. I'm like Tupac. Tupac say that's when he do his best work, when he smoke.
Yeah,
so
that's how my dad was.
I don't care about criticism. I know the medical benefits of this shit, that a person who ain't interested in it, they gonna always have the opposite to say from me. So I ain't gonna battle with their beliefs. You know, I know what's real. Right. So life took me for a ride, and here we go. I lived it, bro. I made it.
Man, so now tell us about the Be Noble brand.
The Be Noble brand, yes. Came in 2018. We was established through my man, Fab Five Freddy. And right now, today, through the partnering with CureLeaf, I donate 10% of the proceeds to organization, man, that helped me out the way they did. I'm able to help families that, you know, with the position I was in, and nobody would come and see me or couldn't come and see me because of financial reason. You know, we donate to families like that to go see their loved ones. And I'm in about 10, 12 different states, I think, under CureLeaf. They have me as author of this little program. I'm GQ magazine and the High Times magazine. It's been a crazy ride, man.
Definitely a 180 turnaround. Now, from the hell hole you was in, now it's kind of like you're floating in heaven with your freedom.
Yeah, but I tell everybody, you know, you know, don't wanna. It's good to be me right now. Yeah, you know, it's really good to be me. And I tell you, you gotta put some respect on my shit because I understand what my name mean now. And the next fella, I tell him, you wouldn't want to take the ride that I took to get right here, because you gotta get bullet holes in your ass. You got to be dragged. You gotta smoke crack. You gotta figure out how to come back. You got to not have driver's license. You ain't going to have no money the next day. You got to have children. You can't buy Pampers. You got to figure out how you going to eat or how you going to get high. You don't have to get, you know, you got to go through all this shit. It's going to rain on you. You don't have an umbrella or nothing. So I went, you got to go through all of that shit. You got to get shot in your ass and, you know, you got to go to jail and you got to live though. You got to live. And if you can't live, you'll never be able to get to this position. So I wouldn't advise nobody to take my road to try to get where I'm at. I can encourage them, just believe in what you're doing, because everybody ain't built for it. I didn't know I was built for it.
Yeah, that's what you know what I'm saying? You didn't know you was made for it.
I got my faith in prison. You know, I understood. You know, God showed me stuff where I know how he come. This ain't no magic show. Nigga don't know, ask God, and nigga, you could pop your fingers and no.
He's not a genie in a bottle, huh?
No, this nigga don't sit up like that. You know, it's so spiritual and mental that you got to understand the form that the spirit come in. It's your faith. You know, I don't use my eyes. You gotta use your brain. You gotta use your spirit that was put in you. So, you know, whatever the eye your power is, bro, I got my third eye in this game, man. I'm the king on here.
Hi, this is Pillow Talks Podcast with Trina J and Adidas with a Z, and you're listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, anchor.fm, Pillow Talks Podcast. If you would like to be a guest on the show, reach out to us, pillowtalks1@yahoo.com. That's PILLOWTALKZ, the number 1@yahoo.com. And we out. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Wow. You know, don't know, not a lot of men come out with all these scars, man, still sitting back, you know.
And can smile about it. And
I'm smiling, you know, I ain't tripping. I could take care of my family.
That's all you wanted to do from the beginning.
Yeah, I scheme myself how I'm able to pay my bills. I get up and spend this miscellaneous money where if you would ask me this shit 20 years ago, I'd say, nigga, what? We riding, we ain't gonna have it. You got a bus window? I'm not spending no money fixing no, you ain't got no insurance? What the hell I pay insurance for, you know? Mm-hmm. Telecredit, man, I just ain't got it, you know? My credit was 300, now it's 700, you know? So it's a test, bro. You know, and my faith is strong. My belief, my optimism is way up. I'm so rich in spirit that I don't know what to do with my own thoughts sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, for sure, personally, that God is real in your life. Huh?
Shoot. I don't even understand how you got a person that's a non-believer in, you know, I don't even understand when a person could say, I don't know, and they're human saying this shit. And that's something I never understood. Then they got them. They got a cult full of them that's non-believers, but they're human. They so fucked up where they don't even understand that the words they saying come from the spirit, but they just using the shit in the wrong way. The people like that think they live and wake up and talk on their own. But yeah, I'm past that. Yeah, I'm past that shit. I'm a true believer. I'm a true believer of the higher power. Yeah, I'm a true believer. It's spiritual. And what other people might doubt and say, oh, well, why God don't whoop de whoop? I ain't doing all that. I'm not doing all that. That ain't my place. I done went through hell and back, and I still go through ups and downs. But I got a boss on my side. I've been blessed by the best, and the rest ain't shit to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It just don't mean nothing, and I'm so grateful, bro. You know, I'm sitting here interviewing with my cousin. I went to high school with.
We ain't seen each other like in years and years and years.
Yeah.
Like a whole lifetime passed, you know, from
a
high school.
A lifetime passed. You know, we lost a lot of friends and family and everything, bro. You know, people living bad and just dying off, you know, and
we still here. God still got us here for some type of purpose,
God,
reason.
God kept his hand on us, bro. And I'm telling my motto is not cousin, and you could quote me on this, when life is up or down and having situations, anything you're going through, pay yourself with bills or whatever. Be noble at it. And that's just be noble at it. You're digging that deeper than the words it is. So
yeah,
that, I'm crazy about that quote right there, son.
Yeah, that noble name, man, that's a big moniker to kind of live up to. Be noble.
Yeah, that name is historical. It's been placed in big spots. It's got a spot in the dictionary. It's got a spot in the encyclopedia in life. It's a mentor word. It's power. It's power, and it took for me to go. Yeah, it took for me to go to prison. I am be noble, baby.
Oh yeah, you had to. I'm laughing, but I know it wasn't a funny situation then. But you know, we always cracking jokes.
It's a laugh, cause we gotta laugh at this, cause I could get on the stage and tell her Chris Rock and Kevin Hart couldn't fuck with this joke. They couldn't fuck with it. You know, they couldn't fuck with my joke. If I tell them, they're going to laugh when I go to telling that slave joke, but it's real. Yeah. And I'm going to tell her, Queens and the QRB people, don't get mad, because they was, y'all cut up in prison too. Y'all cut up. Your QBGR people, y'all cut up in prison.
To my rainbow crowd or the alphabet.
Yeah, because they had one in there. They had one in there look like a knockoff Amber Rose.
Whoa.
And I ain't never seen men fight to the death. Being in there, bro, remind me of the animals that I watch on Wild Kingdom. When they want to mate, they perform a ceremony, dance, and niggas show their feathers and everything for the next chicken to take them. Because when a punk came into that 100-by-100 room, these niggas would go and we put our finest attire under the mattress in case we get a visit to press it out. Nigga, that's our steam box. So these niggas would go and take out their finest t-shirt, all snowy white, put the t-shirt on, go stand by the microwave, want to get a haircut, pull their pants down a fucking little bit, put the headphones on, and while the hoe walking around, they thugging, they showing the ceremony dance. I'm tough. I'm come and get me.
Yeah, oh
I'm clean. The niggas put on clean shirts. They want to get a line in me. They want to put on a pair of tennis, brand new shoes that they done got. And then them motherfuckers ain't going out their room. They gonna walk to that wall, come to that wall, go to the other wall, and then that's all four walls. But they doing this ceremony shit for this dick sucker. And bruh, it was amazing. When they in there having these punks, the toilet paper be lined up on the floor to let you know it's a kill zone. And I say, what kind of shit? Yeah. So
evil.
This is what I had to see in prison. We got quarantined because of a faggot had the tuberculosis. Nigga, The hazmat crew came in that motherfucker on us. And the last little nigga that I know that had him, I looked at him when the people came in there with them spray guns and all them plastic suits on. I said, what you think now, boy? What you think now? Yeah. Yeah, this was a nigga sleeping with a man that said his family wouldn't know. So it's okay. When the hazmat crew came in there on us, bro, looking for this punk, I looked at him and said, what you thinking now, boy? Nigga, we had to go get all kind of shots and stickers up our ass up in that nasty-ass place with this faggot. I lived through it, bro. Bad food, no health benefits, no education. It ain't no concern for us in prison. They make us go against each other, and we fight and kill each other up in that sucker, too, bro.
Probably. It's like... They wouldn't treat their dog that way, huh?
Oh, yeah. Boy, if you tried to kick that man dog, tie his animal up and give him that bullshit we ate, you going to be in a world of trouble. You're going to be in a world of trouble. And the people, the people that work for these institutions, bro, they don't give a goddamn about your well-being. Not at all.
Just there for a paycheck.
Everything on the streets is in prison except a real female.
Wow.
And they make the men out of some, or they come in there already. They got cell phones because they got drugs. I couldn't get a letter from my family. I couldn't get a magazine or a book to read because the criminal shit that was going on in there, these dudes knew how to make heroin strips, Suboxone strips, they call them, into paper, card paper that you draw on a card. They make it out. The whole sheet would be drug, and the police figured that out, and I couldn't get a letter in jail because they thought the letter was going to be made out of dope paper. I ain't never seen, they genius in that place. You don't have nothing but criminal ass time to think, and that's the plan with the oppressors. But I thought different. I was thinking about bigger shit, not trying to be the king of, you know, breaking out of prison or learning a new tactic, how to do some criminal shit in jail. And that's all you learn in jail, bro. That's why I begged to go to Angola. People thought I was crazy, asking to go to the most treacherous place on the planet for a penitentiary. But I wanted to go for education, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to go because I knew I could do something there.
And they denied you because
I had almost 14 years. They said, well, buddy, you ain't got enough time. Angola is such an oppressor of this world. They told me I didn't have enough time. I mean, like, what the fuck is, boy?
That must be where you go do life or something, huh?
You have to be a lifer. So this is they take on game. My slave camp gonna go so long and so forever that when you come here, you have to prepare to come and pick your own plot because you're gonna spend the rest of your life with me. And if your mom or your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, grandmother, if they still living, they're gonna pay the taxes on your stupid ass to be here. So I can feed you. And no, 13 years, no, I can't make enough money. That's too short, them people told me. What am I going to do with 13 years of getting paid off of you? Boy, please, get out of here. And they did. They told me no. I say, well, you know, something wrong with life. Something is really wrong with life. They told me I wasn't a big enough prophet. Can't make enough proceed off of 14 years of a man life. That ain't long enough. I can't buy but one Cadillac off of 14 years. Come again, they said.
I can't send
Mary to college of the 4 years off of no 13. Nigga, you got a couple of life partners? Give me them. Not you. You not you. So... That's how the institutions is working today in our world, bro. People need to recognize.
Yeah, you were small change.
I was, destroyed my life. You know, took me away from my kids, tore up a peace-ass relationship I had, and tell me I'm still not good enough to come to their prison because I'm not worth enough. Yeah. So that's what people need to understand. This is a racket. Prison is a racket. You get piled in that motherfucker like old cabbage, you know. And your account. Don't nobody care about you. Your account, your number, your business, and it's rough. It's rough, and it's. I don't know how it's gonna change. This ain't gonna change, cause you know it's unfortunate. Prisons are unnecessary, but they eat off a lot of innocent people like myself that don't have the background that's needed to be in prison. You know, I can't help the community or the world by locking a human up like myself, woman, man, or child. You know, there's no profit in this shit, but for jail, you easy, you're profitable for the, you know, 10, 15 years, and I want you. And it's wrote down like that in the books with these slave masters. They got little replicas at the mansion of slave camp built on a table, and they counting us.
But look, yes, so this is the point where I want you to talk to the young men out there thinking it's cool to be jail or go to jail or be hard like that.
Yeah, well, young fella.
Do they want that life or what?
What I want you to know is, and that's the thing, they think this shit is cool. They think it's
street credibility. And
yeah, you get noticed a bit, you get noticed. But what you don't know is what you want to get noticed by your homeboy. See, when you get up in this place where the sound is different, the lights are different, and everybody in there done triple what you think you've done, and they don't give a fuck about you. You gonna see how cool it is when you get to a place where you're gonna have to beg for a phone call. You get to a place where the same exact thing you done to the person in the free world, somebody gonna jack you. If you're not strong enough, you're gonna get raped. You're gonna get that knife put in you. It's just like a gun. So if you think this shit is cool, taking a call of robbing and any little thing and be able to get away and go home and laugh about it, when you get caught, you're going to see. Because it's not a joke. I used to think that it was cool to hang with people like that. But nothing come out of it but debt or penitentiary. So it's not a good thing, and that's a process, bro. It's hard for a lot of people to understand because, you know, it started at home. A lot of our youth is lost right now, and I'm trying to stay on my kid right now. Somebody bust the windows out of my truck. It's a number of bunch of kids, and they lost their direction, bro. So, you know, the best advice that I would have for a younger man trying to do something, stay around a positive group of people.
Yeah, and I guess if you can't find them, you got to become it.
You have to become it, and that's a test. You know, that's a struggle where that's a really big mental thing, and some people don't have a lot of guidance. Like myself, I didn't have nobody protecting me at that age, so I made all the wrong decisions, but I lived through them, and it's not like that for everybody. So it's a hell of a thing to grow mentally, you know. And that's another level. It's easy to tell somebody something, but the individual got to really figure it out. You know, we could talk till we blow, but if they don't admit, it's like a drug problem. If you can't admit to it yourself that you got a problem, it ain't gonna never work. You're gonna keep going in the circle until you find your purpose. You got to understand purpose, bro. You know, telling them how it's not cool, it's all right, but them understanding it, that's a whole nother concept that spiritually it might not be getting through to them. So before I could tell a young person something, I like to show them some of these wounds on my body. I like to, you know, show them some pictures in jail and let them niggas know I was 18 or 21 way before them or whatever age they is, and it happened to me. If you're human, it's going to happen to you. If y'all just on this street like this, and you know, I could give it to them, but it's how they receive it.
Right. I'm sure it was a time in your life somebody said something to you and you kind of ignored it.
Very, very few people said good shit. I was around a lot of the wrong influence, bro.
Okay. The environment, huh?
Yeah. I was just around the, you know, and it started long way back with them. I didn't have no support. I didn't have no mentors. I had motherfuckers around me that said, come on, get high with me. But, well, I don't know what else to do. What the fuck you want me to do? So, you know, come take a ride with me, nigga. Let's go steal something. The car ain't got but one light. I ain't got no license. It ain't got no license plates on it. The spare tire on here. Let's go ride, you know. Shit. And I thought that shit was cool. But I had to learn the real way. But I thank God for carrying me, kept his hand on me. He had a purpose for me. I just wasn't listening. But I'm here now.
Oh, he got your ear now, huh?
Yeah. I'm here now. I'm looking at a picture of me right now. I wish you seen a little bit of it. You know, my article in the GQ magazine, man. Magazines I read, and I'm sitting on the stairs with a lady that was my babysitter when I was a kid, and I'm looking at this poster, bro. And I'm in my hood where my mama had six children with a one bedroom house, because we lived like that with one toilet, one bed, one TV, one icebox. Six kids, two adults. When one of my aunties been out messing with that 70s dope, and they come to the house, they got to sleep there. And now my spot gone on the goddamn floor. You know what I'm saying? Oh, so it was rough. It was rough. I niggas got bedrooms now and they don't understand. Boy, what you did? Boy, you know, life was so tough for me. Kids today, they got this bullying thing. I'm so rough and balled up bad. I didn't understand no bullying. Boy, if you hit me, I'm going to strike you. That I ain't know. What is bullying? That you hit me, that means strike back.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, I just, that's all I know. Now, today is bullying. I'm going to go jump off the bridge because you scared me. What? I just been balled up with all kind of cuts and scars on my ass. Got broke up as a kid in the playground, had a full body cast on, you know, just ghetto, just fell clean off the slide and broke my ass up, bro, you know. But that's how I was brought up. I didn't know nothing else. And that's the journey I took in life. But I found out that rough shit is not what's up, but it can make you or break you, bro. That's what it done for me.
Right. So look.
Yeah.
Where can they find you on social media?
I'm at the formerly known as Instagram. It's the X now, all that little fancy, up-to-date, modern stuff that I'm still not in. You know what I'm saying? But that's my platform. We got the Facebook thing going on. It's the B&A Cajun Wagon, sponsored by your boy, one and only, Mr. B Noble himself. So I'm out here in the mix.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the food truck.
Yeah, we was on that penitentiary that where it all started at. But yeah, throughout that struggle, I got something that I always wanted to do just because I know it by trade, and now I'm the proud owner of my own food wagon. It's a 30-foot custom food trailer with a bathroom, B Noble style, selling strictly original New Orleans Cajun food in the Midwest, and they loving it.
Loving it, loving it. Now, you said Midwest. You're not back in New Orleans?
No, sir. That's the slavery state. Nope. I'm not down in the bottoms. I'm way up in the hills, and my life is elevating. I ain't going down because I'm going up. And I'm not going to look down for nobody pulling on my ankles. I ain't going to look down until I'm all the way up. You know, because it's like crabs in a bucket.
Right.
That generational curse, the shit, that cycle of being in one place and not knowing how to explore and broaden your horizon. I got a lot of homeboys like that. They scared to death to leave that place, and it's they stuck. It's a generational curse.
Yeah, well, and you seen what I did right out of high school. I just joined the Air Force and ain't been back since.
Yeah. And I understand why now, but I done broke myself free of that curse, bro.
Yes.
And yep, And I know what it is. And life is good. Life is way better. And, you know, I wouldn't have known what to do with this sooner. So that's why he didn't give it to me. He just say, stay your dumb ass out there and run and bump your head. You're not listening. I'm going to let you bump, but I ain't going to kill you. I'm going to put you down. I ain't going to kill you. Yeah. I ain't going to kill you. I'm going to let you live. I'll live again. He said, okay, go back out. I done it. He said, I'm not going to kill you yet. And then he put me down for 10 years. He said, I'm almost making you feel like you're dead, but I'm not going to kill you.
I'm going to let you, get close to the edge of that. But I'm
you know. I was all the way at the edge, and I was in there crying, and he told me, shut up and listen. If you make it through this, I'm going to take care of you.
Wow.
And from there, cuz, I got my third eye promotion, and I stopped crying, and I started sticking my chest out in the penitentiary. And I came out in 2018, and here we go with the B Nova brand exploding.
Bam. And that's the story.
And that's the true facts.
Man, appreciate you coming
on. From 10 to the win, the plans was to kill and destroy in the penitentiary. The system is a racket. It's just a big racket. It condemns a nigga spirit. It do a lot of shit to you mentally that I can't even come up with the proper doctor terms, because it's there. It's there. I know it. I experienced it. And no doctor, pharmacist, or ABC man could tell me nothing, because you ain't been there. What you talking about? But you know, I got it like that. And this is what keep me strong. It keep me. I know shit now. I know my purpose, and I'm ready.
Proud of you, son.
I appreciate it. Proud of you too, Cuddle.
Man, it's crazy though.
I waited a long time thinking about this day. I didn't know, but I hoped.
It's crazy. We were just two high school kids. Remember?
To high school, I tell my wife, we just come home out of high school, and they got to go drive a dump truck. Y'all going and get party, and they got to drive it. Been in school, and they got to drive a dump truck.
On
responsibility.
The weekend.
Oh, all the time, man, get bad in you. Get betting your shit. You know, niggas, it's scary now. It's scary right now. They ain't got it like that. They ain't got it like they should have had some of that hard shit we went through. Getting your ass kicked, and you gonna figure it out how to not get your ass kicked. You gotta do the right thing.
And I was good at avoiding those.
Boy.
I figured out how to get through the maze of craziness.
I'm proud of all of my ass whoopings. I didn't like the niggas who my mama was with, but I took my lick. I got a story to tell, and it molded me. It molded me in all kind of ways.
Yep.
Where for one, I ain't gonna beat on mine like that, you know. And it taught me other shit about people, you know, and respect with that shit. So I'm good with that. It's just a stage in life, bro. It's things that gonna be in your track book that shit, nigga. This is what it is. This is life. It's a story. And man, you live or die. You gonna survive or you gonna die. That's it.
Yep.
And that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in, and God give us choices. God give us options. You know, God give us the right to yea and nay. So it's on you. The world is out here for us. It took me a minute. He didn't want me to do it sooner. So I understand now from 18. And I'm up on this shit now. I'm ahead of the game now. Even from 18, I got it down pat now.
Sounds good to me, cousin.
Yeah, it's working out fine. I'm laying around and having babies and smoking that medicine and peeping out the window.
In true noble form.
And in the noble form. It's the noble tradition.
With a different attitude.
With all the right favor. You know, it's a noble tradition. I'm one of the strongest.
My hat's off to you, brother.
Yeah, I did some shit that no man could conquer in the noble branch. I went through it because you know it. You heard of it. You felt the shit. You know I went through it. You know it.
And nobody can take that away from you. So.
And you could never. I got the scars on my body. I got the memories in my heart. How you can fucking do take that? These scars, these wounds, I'm looking at.
That's the reminders.
Yeah.
In case you lose track.
You can't even take this from me, cuz it don't even heal. It, you know, it's a mark. Yeah. So I'm amazed that I've been blessed by the best, and I'm cool. I could get up. I could feed my family. I don't ask nobody for nothing. I don't bother nobody about no money. I got 4 automobiles. I got a $90,000 kitchen on wheels. You know, I pay insurance.
Yeah, so where do we go from here?
Just straight up, make the business get better. My wife is an entrepreneur with hair. I want to just eventually get a building after this, put some people to work, and I back up and go ride my boat and smoke my blunts, you know? Yeah.
And be noble.
And be noble. I'm a quote that, and I'm gonna need y'all to be noble with everything going on around here. And you can have this lifestyle like me. So don't doubt it. It's not gonna be in the form of how I've got mine. But you can live just like the man you're working for. I'm gonna let them know. This how you get your get it off of me and get your own. Use my platform and go do something and say, I give it to you. Because nobody never give me no help until Fab and them came along, you know?
It's amazing.
And I'm so grateful, cousin. I'm so grateful.
And that's all God wanted you to be, just grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm overwhelmed with joy, bro. You know, I just take it easy. I think about, damn, I couldn't normally get up and do the things I'm doing and not worry about money. You know, I'm just scared to spend the money sometimes because I don't want it to stop. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
It's called wisdom.
This is too good. Yeah. You know,
you don't want to go back from where you came from.
I never go back where I come from. I'm not going to let the system manipulate nothing out of me because it's not for them to see as progress.
Right. By design.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you for coming on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast and sharing your awesome story. And like I say, proud of you for making it through, because I know it wasn't no walk in the park, brother. But
thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate the invite. Well, it was a blessed, noble journey that I went through in life. And that's what it is with me, cousin. You can call me be noble or be gone, baby.
I like that. Be noble or be gone. Oh,
you too. You pick one. Now you got to get one. Now you tell me which one you want, and I'm gonna give you all the love in the world. I'm gonna be noble with what you got to pick one. Be noble or be gone.
And on that note, we are done with it.
Yep.
You've heard it exclusively on Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is your man Bernard Noble, aka Be Noble. You're listening to the Nathaniel Noble podcast, smooth show. And be sure to check your man out at the Be Noble at Instagram or your Facebook. So that's the BeNoble.com. You can find me. And please, listening audience, check out this Nathaniel Smooth Talk Show.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.